2, test 2, 3, test 3, 4, test 5, 6, test 7, 8. Okay, let me back up in a few minutes. Okay, test maybe just a hair louder up on the stage. Test 2, 3, 4, even out here a little bit. Test 2, 3. Thank you. Test 1, 2. Very top. Test 1, 2. Shalom, everyone. We're going to get started in just a few minutes. We're short staffed and we're running behind. We have a beautiful service for you today, the worship, and I have a prophetic word for you. So hang in there with us, and we'll be right there, okay? Love you, and God bless. Shabbat shalom. Test 1, 2. Okay. Somebody changed my mic's thing.
Well, last night they were just on my laptop, so they do have phones. And I don't know, they were having problems getting set it up. I'm at the synagogue, they're at home. Yes. Okay. Well, she just called me and asked if you would just call her and she can help you.
Name.
See us? Okay. Shabbat Shalom, folks on Facebook. Welcome. Welcome, folks on live stream. We're going to start now. Forgive us again. We're just, like I said, we're short staffed. So it's just three of us here today. But we have worship and Don's beautiful worship for you and my assistants. And Diane's helping us with sound and audio. So please show us your grace. But we'll have a lovely afternoon service or morning service if you're on the West Coast, evening service if you're in Israel. And so God bless you for joining us today. I have a prophetic word for you. Father, we just thank you for this service today. We just pray your blessing, your anointing, and your strength today, that your strength be made perfect in our weakness, and that you would just take away take away the stresses of the week and the burdens of the week for us, and give us your Shabbat Shalom today. We ask in the name of Yeshua. We bind the enemy today, and we ask that you bring your Shalom, your anointing here today, and anoint the ears of the people to hear, and anoint their eyes to see truth from your word today. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we ask, Lord, and give me the boldness to speak truth and not just tickle ears. And thank you, Lord, that you're Lord of the sound and Lord of the video, that you're Lord of all things, and the message and the music and the worship. Now I'm going to turn it over to Rebbetzin. God bless you. This is for Zion's Sake Ministries. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is Rebbetzin Don, and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Hallelujah. And so we'll open up with Shabbat Shalom.
That's good.
You guys all know this one, so...
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shabbat
you today. We praise you in the storm. We praise you as we come out of the storm.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And we bless the Messiah this morning. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in our great Messiah, Yeshua.
Amen.
Where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her.
Father, we just bow our heads and we come before you and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Your word says in Psalm 122:6, they shall prosper who love thee. We pray, Lord, today especially for the first responders in Israel, for the lab workers, for the people doing testing, for the COVID-19. We pray for the patients, Lord, the people suffering, and the families mourning deaths, and that you comfort them, and that you protect the people. We thank you, Lord, for the stringent measures they've given there to stop the virus in Israel. And I pray, Lord, that you would, I believe when this all is said and done, the numbers in Israel will be very small compared to what we're seeing in the United States and some other countries like Iran and Italy and Spain. Thank you, Lord, that you're protecting your people. Father, I thank you for this service. I thank you for the first responders in our country today, whether they be Jewish or not, whoever they are. We pray for the nurses and the doctors on the front lines fighting this battle. We pray for the biotech people trying to create vaccines and antivirals to alleviate the symptoms and heal this COVID-19 virus. We pray, Lord, for the people doing the lab testing behind the scenes, that you give them strength. They're increasing their work and their lab work as they test people and they get forgotten. We pray for them as well as you lift up the nurses and the staff and the doctors and protect them with PPE and all that they need, Lord. Protect their families from sickness, from this pestilence. We pray, Lord, for those having service today, that you bless them, that you bless their services, that the gospel is preached. And this is the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, I pray that if you don't know Yeshua, if you don't have peace, if you're worried, if you're fearful out there, that you would read your Bibles, dust them off the shelves, read them, pick them up, and ask God to show you why this is happening. And who is Yeshua? Who is Jesus of Nazareth? And what does he have to do with it? Ask God to show you these things, and he will. I promise you, if you pray sincerely to God, and you read his book, his word, and you pray to him and ask him, not just once, but just repeatedly, it can be in your bedroom, in your car, in your shower, wherever, in a quiet place, out in your backyard, anywhere. You just read the word and pray. You can talk to God like you're talking to me or anybody else. That's how he talked to you as a friend. And you'll get to know. He'll speak to you eventually. You just got to wait for him. Hallelujah. We pray for the rabbis today, Lord, that you provide for their needs and for all the needs of the Jewish people and the pastors too, Lord, that you pray for their needs, those who have true need and the churches that are struggling right now and ministries. We pray, Lord, that you meet the needs wherever they may be. In Yeshua's name, amen, we ask. Amen. We bind the enemy.
Amen.
Now bless this service.
Diane, I sent you a message. Just read it real, when you get a chance.
Do the Shema. We just want to go in and let it rise. Okay, we're just going to do the Shema, and then we're going to go into worship.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kivod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed.
Be'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, v'chol levavcha, uv'chol nafshecha, uv'chol me'odecha, v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele, asher nochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha. Bishinata ham levanecha, bidibarta baham, bishivtecha vetecha, uvalechtecha vaderech, uvashach becha, uvakumecha, ukashavta ham, almazazot betecha, uvisharecha, ukatavta ham, liot al yadecha, vahayulatotafot bene necha. Uchatav ta'am al mezuzot beitecha,
uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you're in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you retire. And you, when you arise, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen.
Amen. Diane, if you could turn my mic up a little bit, please, in the monitor, and if it's not too loud out there, it might need to go up some. My voice isn't strong today. Test 1, 2, test 2, 3. All right, we're going to have some time of worship. Ready?
Yeah. I am ready. Let's just bring our hearts to him this morning, this afternoon. Hallelujah. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise.
All thy ways, O Lord, King of
Alleluia, 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 Amen. Art thou, who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord, for thou alone art holy, thou alone, alone. All the nations shall come and worship thee, for thy glory shall be revealed.
Hallelujah.
Joyful noise before the Lord.
Make a joyful noise, all ye lands. Turn the Lord with gladness, clap your hands.
Come into his presence, singing.
He is our maker and our king. So make a joyful noise, all ye lands. Turn the Lord with gladness, clap your hands. Come into his presence, singing. He is our maker and our king. So enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. For the Lord he is able to be faithful through all our generations. To be faithful in all our situations. To be faithful through all our generations.
Oh, know ye the Lord, he is good.
It is he who made us, no man could. He is the shepherd, we his sheep.
I know the Lord watches over me.
So enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Generations to be faithful in all our situations, to be faithful in all our generations.
So come on, enter into his gates. So enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Enter his courts with praise. For the Lord he is able to be faithful through all our generations. To be faithful in all our situations. To be faithful in all our generations.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him a shout.
Hallelujah. He is, the Lord is faithful. Amen, Rabbi.
Amen.
In all of our situations.
Yes, he is.
And because of that, we can praise him. In the storm, we can praise him when it's good. We can praise him when it's not so good outside, right? And we can just lift him up because we know that he's faithful to us. And the outcome of our lives is not dependent on us.
That's a lot of pressure for it to all be depending on us.
Oh gosh,
isn't it?
It's enough pressure with it out, with it not depending on me.
That's right. So if we have to depend on ourselves,
I don't think I'd be here. I could have been gone long ago.
But God will make a way where there seems to be no way. So let's look to Him and thank. If you have never thought that it was necessary to have someone, a higher help in your life, now's the time, I think, that we should look for Him. Look for the one who really guides us and makes a way, does miracles in our lives every day. So
that's right, Don. You know, if you're finding that you're hitting a bottom in your life, it, maybe it's financially, maybe it's you have need, you can't pay a bill. I see houses going up for sale. I read about people that can't pay for rent, can't pay their electric bills, and the money's not coming in, and those checks haven't arrived. And your provider isn't the government, in case you didn't know that. God is your provider. He's the one who makes a way for you. He's the one who puts a roof over your head. He's the one who really puts food on your table. He's the one who raises your wages from $8 an hour to 11 or 12 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 60. He's the one who takes care of your family and pays your bills. It's not man. It's not the government. You're finding out right now. If you thought it was the government that was taking care of you, and you think that the people who believe the government can take care of all your needs, just look around right now and you'll see it ain't happening, is it? So watch out for those people who promise you that the government will take care of everything, because they're lying to you. They're lying. But God, He will make a way. And I encourage you to get down on your knees and ask Him to come into your life right now and say, "Dear God, I don't know You, but I believe government isn't going to provide for me. I may have lost my job. I can't pay my bills. I need food for my kids, someone to go to the grocery store for me. And I believe You can make a way. Show Yourself to me, please. In Yeshua's name, amen."
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a earth will fade, but
but his word will still remain. He will do something new today. Something new today, come on. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways not see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make.
Look to his power and strength.
For most of you, the God of your fathers was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or is the God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God of most people's fathers in America. And that's the song we're going to sing. We're going to sing about the God of our fathers and the great things he's done for us and does for us through his son, Jesus, Yeshua.
Our fathers, ruler of the heavens, king over all the earth, the almighty God. Power and strength are in thy hands, O Lord. Who can stand against thee? Almighty God, we put our hope in thee. Power and strength are in thy hands, O Lord. Who can stand against thee? Should evil come against us, you are there.
Table, But I want to give you a chance to get ready. So we're going to do one more song called Let My Words Be Few before we go to the Lord's table. But I want you to prepare. If you have some grape juice or some Manischewitz or Carmel or Mogan David, whatever you like to use, store brand, 100% grape juice, crackers, matzah. If you'd like to get ready and join us, we're going to go to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai. And so just prepare yourselves at home as we prepare here to do that. And we're going to do one more song for you as you get ready, give you time to get ready and get your elements together. We're going to sing one more song called Let My Words Be Few. It's a beautiful worship song by Matt Redman. Don, if you'll just give me a minute to get my bass on. Okay, so we're going to go to the table of the Lord, and maybe Diane, if you could just, I guess my voice, yeah, there we go. We're going to go to the table of the Lord, and I'm going to bless it, and I don't know how we're going to serve it today. How do you want me to serve it today? All right, so I'll just do the elements, come and get it, as they say down here, as they say, come and get it, y'all. All right, so, hallelujah. Baruch Atadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Peri HaGafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine, and Yeshua, who said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me will bear much fruit. Hallelujah. And that was Passover night. Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal. It's no coincidence that 10 plagues fell during the week before leading up to Passover and the weeks leading up to Passover, and that we've been going through a plague. And I believe that plague is passing, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. This was the third cup of a Passover meal that Yeshua, Passover just ended. Was it yesterday or the day before? Can't recall the eighth day, but anyhow, it was very recently. And then he took the bread, taken in Luke 22 tells us, the bread taken after the meal. We call it the afikomen. He said, take this, and this is my body broken, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And every Jew takes this cup and this bread together after the meal. And they don't know what it represents, so they call it dessert. But we in Messiah know that it represents the Messiah, his body broken for us and given on the cross to die, his blood shed for us, that he was trying to explain to them what he was going to do for them. And so I'm going to bless the bread. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. Amen. All right, so we hope, we're going to each take some of the elements here, then hope you'll join us. I'm going to set them right down here. And okay, Diane, come on, come and get it. Don's going to take it to you. She only licked her fingers before she did it, so. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We invite all believers in the Messiah to partake with us today. If you're a believer in the Messiah, God gave his son as a propitiation for our sins, not because we love God, but because he loved us. And they sent his son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins, the tip. Not just the tip sounds kind of cheap, but that's what a propitiation is. But he paid the price for us. Hallelujah. He paid the price for our sins on the cross. If you believe that today, God has revealed his son to you and forgiven you of your sins. If not, I want you to pray with me. Just say, dear God, wherever you are, just stop what you're doing and pray with me. Dear God, I want to meet the Messiah. I want to meet Jesus today. I've made mistakes, Lord. I've gotten myself into a mess. I don't even know how. I don't even know if I did anything. But there's messes that I've gotten into that I know I did myself. I need your forgiveness. Forgive me, God. Forgive my mistakes. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart and wash me. Cleanse me, Lord. And write my name in your book of life today, forever. In Yeshua, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. It's not so much what you said just now, it's what you meant in your heart is the most important thing. And if you met the Messiah just now, I invite you to contact me. I have a gift for you. Just contact us through our website, www.forzionsake.org. www.forzionsake.org, or You can, it's right there on the Facebook page. You can go to it or call us, leave us a message, tell us your name and address because we can't contact you otherwise, or send us an email. But anyhow, we hope that you made the right choice today. And for that, I say l'chaim to life in Yeshua. Amen. Me to give announcements. What? I'll give them. Okay. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Just going to give a couple of announcements, and today let's look and see what we're counting the Omer. We're counting, beginning the counting of the days between Passover and Pentecost is coming, is the next feast. And you know, it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, God's calendar still goes on. And although He does care, and He also realizes that. You know that there were two Passovers in the Bible. King Hezekiah, if you look up Hezekiah's Passover, Google it. He celebrated Passover a month after he discovered Passover in the Book of the Law. About the priests read the Book of the Law, they discovered there was a feast. And they were late getting ready for it. The priests weren't consecrated. So he prayed, and I believe God told him to celebrate it a month later. So we're going, when we were having a plague that ended, Passover ended on the 16th of, on the 16th day of Thursday of April, which was the Nisan 22nd here in the United States. And that was Thursday, and today's Saturday. So we are on counting of the Omer. We are on the ninth day of the counting of the Omer, from actually we're on the on the ninth day of the counting of the Omer, the counting of the sheaves, the 50 days between Passover and Pentecost. That's where you get the name Pentecost. It comes from the counting the 50 days. Pentecost means 50th in Greek, as in 50 days. So it's the 50 days between the Shabbat at Passover and the Sunday of Pentecost, of the day when many consider that, believe the church was born. It's the 50 days when many believe, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon many people. Upon 3,000 were added in that day, Jew and Gentile. And upon the apostles, great power fell and tongues of fire fell upon the apostles that day, and they were able to do miraculous deeds that they couldn't do a week before. So God did a mighty miracle on Pentecost. He doesn't do it every year. So I used to get stressed out preaching on Pentecost, thinking that every year should be like the Pentecost of Acts chapter 2. But then God said to me, Joe, how many Pentecosts, you know, how many Shavuot? Shavuot's the Hebrew word for Pentecost. It means weeks. We count 7 weeks plus one day. 49 days is 7 weeks plus one day is 50. So you get the 50 days to Pentecost between the Saturday of Passover, which was last Saturday. And if you counted 50 days out from last Saturday, you'll come to the day of Shavuot, the day of Pentecost, the Sunday, the first day of the week following 7 weeks. Now, Christians call it Pentecost. They just count 50 days. But it's the only holiday that Jews and Christians celebrate and have celebrated, theoretically, the church and the Jewish community. Even non-believing Jews celebrate the feast, maybe for different reasons. Some celebrate it for harvest. The wheat harvest falls at Pentecost. The barley harvest falls at Passover in Israel. So so we count the Omer, and today is Omer is the day chapter number 9 of the counting of the Omer. So we have about 41 days to go to the Feast of Shavuot or Pentecost. Hallelujah. And I was telling you, God would pour out his... I used to think, I used to get stressed out preaching, thinking that every year had to be like Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, but it didn't happen. And I would get, I'd fast and pray, and I'd get sleepless, and I wasn't even in Seattle. And it was terrible. And that was a bad joke. But seriously, I used to pray and fast, and sometimes nothing great would happen, and sometimes great things would happen. But, how many times in history have 3,000 people been added in one day, and in such a tiny place like Israel, in Jerusalem, how many times have that many people per capita? Now, maybe in Africa, where there's millions of people, you can say lots of them have been added, but, do they stick? Do they get discipled? Do they follow the Lord, or do they go back to idols and things? That's questionable, whether they do or not. I can't answer that question. It's just things I've heard. places like India, too. They come to revivals. They make confessions to the Lord. And I know there's churches in Africa and India that are very solid, and I don't want to put them down. Don't get me wrong. But I also wonder how many people make professions of faith and don't really mean it. And that's here in America too, But the fact is, in tiny Israel, 3,000 were added that day, and it changed the world. It changed the world. That was a revival of very few that changed the world. And it's because that's the reason, that Pentecost, that's the reason you're here today. That's the reason you're a believer. And that's why it's such an important revival and to celebrate. And so rare. Okay, let's talk about what's going on. So, many of you know I've been battling leukemia, and I was supposed to go to the Mayo Clinic for chemotherapy in March, and I was bumped because the governor of Michigan bumped all non-essential surgeries like chemotherapy and hip surgery and knee surgery replacement and ankle replacement and all these different things. So, and just for abortion, because she felt abortion was essential, but otherwise just COVID-19 and heart attacks, I guess, were essential in Michigan. But in every state, the governor gets to determine, what's essential procedures, and the hospitals have been shutting down. So the tsunami of COVID-19 shut down my chemotherapy. So I've been on... they've been giving me treatments to keep me going till I can get there. And so I need your prayers for strength because I've been working quite hard these last few days finishing my newsletter and getting this message ready for you today. And I'm asking for your prayers to get to the Mayo Clinic. And meanwhile, as I'm preparing, we had a flood last Friday, a week ago. 3 inches of rain fell in 2 hours here. And it's the fourth flood. I'm talking 100-year flood. We don't get 3 inches of rain in 2 hours in a normal 100-year period. We just don't get 3 inches of rain. That's I don't know how many feet of snow that is. You could probably figure that out somehow, but that's a lot of snow. And you don't get that much rain in 3 hours, but we did. So our fellowship hall flooded for the fourth time. And then we had a foundation and water repair company come out to look at our building. We've already spent $15,000 on it. And in the three floods previously this year, I spent $15,000 making repairs, putting in a French drain. We're just a little synagogue. Not only that, we're shut down. And my wife's not working since the middle of February. But I'm trusting God, and he's been providing. And I want to tell you a miracle. So I get a promise, a pledge of $20,000 matching gift challenge that if you'll help us, today, if you'll help us with a gift of 5, 10, 25, 50, 150, whatever you can do. I know everybody's struggling. Many people are struggling. Some people are very wealthy. But if you can help us, if you're wealthy, if you can help us with $500, if you have a widow's mite, $5, $10, whatever you can do, you can go donate it right securely at forzionsake.org, www.forzionsake.org. It's the website on our Facebook page. You can go there, or you can, if you're watching live on live stream, God bless you folks, and you can go there. And we'll match, this donor will match your gift dollar for dollar, and the repair could cost us $10,000 to our fellowship hall, and we're a very small congregation, but you'll be helping keep alive a small Messianic Jewish ministry. If you've been blessed by the prophetic teachings that I've brought, and I'm going to bring you another one today, if you've been blessed by just me and Don and our ministry and by this congregation, if you've been are friends of ours and you want to help, please go and make a donation. If you make a small one, make a small one. If you can make a large one, make a large one. But we've had our fourth flood, and we're looking at possibly up to $10,000 in repairs. Is that right, Don?
Yes,
$10,000 is what they said. So, but we've been given a $20,000 matching gift challenge. That lasts until the end of May. What you say?
Yeah, and that's just for the repair of the foundation. That's not anything extra that we might have to do.
That's just the beginning. It could be more than that. It's probably going to be $15,000 if I know how this works. But we've got a $20,000 matching gift challenge. So if whatever you can give today, and it'll be matched dollar for dollar up to $20,000. And so help us meet our $20,000 matching goal. And you'll be blessing Israel. We are your local connection to Israel. We've been here 20 years. We are the only spiritual embassy. God bless the synagogue. They're wonderful people. But they don't have a spiritual connection because they don't. If you don't, the Bible says, "No man comes to the Father but through the Son," and we are the main connection of believing Jews in the whole 120-mile radius here between Roanoke and Knoxville and Asheville and other places. We're the only spiritual embassy here for Israel, for Jerusalem, that is. Been here for 20 years and still going, even with me fighting cancer. I'm not asking you to pay my medical bills or anything, just to help our synagogue today. So we're going to take up our offering, and for those from our congregation who are with us in our congregation, again, you can donate online through PayPal. PayPal's not charging any fees for 90 days, I think it is. They're giving free. If you charge on PayPal, and it's confidential, we only get your name. So if you want to be receipted, you've got to give us your address, because we only know your name when you give to us. If you've given before, we'll know that. But if you haven't given us your information, we can't receipt you. We are a 501c3 tax-exempt congregation. So please consider prayerfully with me about contributing and helping us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these tithes and offerings. And we just pray that you would bless them, multiply a hundredfold. Your word says you'll bless those who bless Israel. In Deuteronomy 12:3, as in Numbers 24, how lovely are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy dwelling places, O Israel. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Numbers 24, God promises, Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who love her. They shall prosper. You can't go wrong when you support the Jewish people, but especially the believing Jews. And Galatians 6:10 says, "It is good, therefore, to do good to all men, especially to those of the household of the faith." Especially to those of the household of the faith. That's us. It's good to do. It's good to help the Jewish people. It's even better to help the Messianic Jews. So we are the Messianic Jews, the real ones. I'm Jewish, born of an Orthodox Jewish lineage. I've been ordained by 12 rabbis laying hands on me and ordaining me, anointing me with oil in 2007. I went to seminary. I've been Jewish all my life. We're the real deal. So please just consider and be like the Roman centurion of Luke chapter 7, who gave, he built the synagogue for the Jews. And when his servant became sick in Luke chapter 7, and Yeshua and Jesus found out from the elders of the temple he had built the synagogue, Jesus made a beeline to the man's house to heal his servant. The man said, "No, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come to my house. Just say the word and it'll be done." And Jesus marveled. Yeshua marveled. He said, "Greater faith I have not seen in all Israel." He truly marveled. And this centurion had built a synagogue in a little fishing village in a country town in the middle of nowhere. I mean, Galilee, Capernaum was considered nowhere. And in those days, even today, it's considered nowhere. And in Israel. And it's the country, just like we're in the country. But this Roman centurion, he didn't look at the big things, the big mega churches or the big mega synagogues. He built where there was nothing, where there was just a little fishing village. He saw, and because he saw the Messiah, his heart was pure, and he saw the Messiah. So may God bless you as you give and multiply you a hundredfold. And in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom. Amen. Amen. Anything else, Don? Oh, our newsletter is done, and it'll be coming out this week. We'll be mailing it, so if anybody wants to volunteer, we have social distancing. We'll have days with like two or three people in the building, and we'll put people in separate rooms and tables to fold newsletters. We can give you gloves if you want to volunteer and get out and do something for the Lord. You go to the supermarket and you handle cans. You could come and sit in a private room or down the hall 8 feet from another person and fold letters for the Lord and feel good about yourself doing something for Yeshua, for Jesus. And call us. Our phone number, again, it's on our Facebook page and on our website. If you'd like to volunteer, call our office at 276-644-1678. 276-644-1678. I'll say that again, 276-644-1678. Call us or email us and let our administrative assistant, Vicki, know that you'd like to come and help this week. Any day, we'll be doing it all week long, getting it ready, small groups of people, social distancing. And you can, you know, you handle cans of Campbell's soup, you can handle some newsletters, we'll give you gloves and fold them, and whatever you need, we'll give you a mask, whatever you need, and come and help us, please. God will bless you, I believe that. Well, Shabbat Shalom, and at this time, I'm going to share my message with you, and I just want to say to you that, you know, let me pray for the word, all right? Now, I got a sign here, okay? Now, if you like what I say, it says, "Can I get an amen?" All right? Because I can't see you, so I have to show you the sign. It says, "If you like what I say, can I get an amen?" And if you don't like what I say, then you have to, on the other side of the sign, it says, "Get over it." Get over it. If you don't like what I say, get over it. Okay? But if you like what I say, give me an amen. Okay? All right. You like that? Are you responding to that one? Okay, can I get an amen? Hallelujah! Amen! Amen. All right, if you don't like it, get over it. Okay, all right, Lord, bless me. Anoint me with your servant with this word today, right now. I'm going to get my coffee here. Anoint your servant with this word. And I pray, thank you, Father. You do it. Oh, I dropped something. I'll be right back. I'm praying at the amplifier. I really am coming back, I promise. So anyway, what was I saying? Can you grab my pillow there, Don? I used to have a lot of help. Now I need a lot of help. I think Jesus said that about Peter one day. He said, one day, you know, right now you can do everything, but a day will come when you won't be able to do it, and they're going to have to gird you up and take you where you don't want to go. And I think that day is coming sooner for me than later. What? Pillow on the chair. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right, here we go. Okay, so first of all, I just want to say, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And what matters to God does not necessarily matter to you and me, but the things that God says are going to come to pass, and the things that you and I plan may not come to pass, because His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. So we have to figure out what's important to God and what's important to us. Amen? And He does care about us, don't get me wrong, but He has an agenda, okay? And His word, it says heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will not pass away until the earth passes away. The word of God will never pass away. Even though the heavens and the earth pass away, the word of the Lord will not pass away. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Now bring it forth in power. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Make me a vessel. Empty me of Joe and bind the strong man in the name of Yeshua. Amen. And can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. All right. We can all agree on that one. Amen. All right, so God says His word will not pass away. So when you preach the word of the Lord, the Bible says it endures forever and it doesn't return void. You know, there's one investment you can make, and that's when you preach the word of God in truth and spirit and truth, because when you preach the word of God in spirit and truth, you're in making an investment. It says it'll never return void. In other words, you know, you can void a check, right? Diane, you can void a check. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. But you can't void the word of God, right? So get over it. You can't void the word of God. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm not going to keep doing it. But seriously. So 20 years ago, well, in 2002 actually, is about 18 years ago, I preached this message called The Second Exodus. I talked about a time that would come when the cities would empty out. I talked about a day in the future when God would be getting ready to fly the Jewish people back to Israel and take them home from the West. And I said, when this time of distress comes upon the Jewish people who are among the nations, they will begin to return to Israel. And Jeremiah wrote, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives, who brought out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, but the Lord lives, who brought out the children of Israel from the land where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land that I gave their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterward I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill out of the holes of the rocks." And I believe that God is not only taking Jewish people, but He's trying. Christians are being cornered right now. Those states where they don't like you using motorboats, but using sailboats, where they don't like you having hip surgery, but only having abortion, they also don't like Christians. A lot of them want to shut down churches and have shut down churches completely. And, you're starting to see a taste, if you look around the country, the persecution of Christians. It's not just Jews. God wants to take Christians back to Israel too. But many Christians say to me, "Well, Rabbi Joe, how can I go back to Israel? I'm an American and there's no citizenship." And I say, well, you have to believe. Did God part the sea? It says in Exodus 12:38, a mixed multitude of Gentiles came out of Egypt with the children of Israel and went into the promised land. They're never referred to as Gentiles again. They assimilated into the tribes of Israel. They married in. They became part of the tribes of Israel. And so you have to believe. You have to have faith. We're going to talk about faith and fear. Okay. So I just want to say, so 18 years ago I preached this message that God was going to take people out of the cities and they would flee the cities and they would come out into the nations, into the country. It says in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 38, let me read it to you. As I live, declares the Lord, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with wrath poured out, God's talking to the Jewish people, I shall be king over you, and I shall bring you out from the peoples, that's us, America, the nations, Europe, and gather you from the lands where you are scattered, talking to the Jews, with a mighty hand, with an outstretched ram, and with wrath poured out. Would you say that this pestilence, this disease, Wuhan coronavirus, is wrath poured out? I would. I'd say it's wrath poured out on America, on God's many people. Now, I believe there's two kinds of people in the world. There's those who obey God and listen to His voice and abide in Him. And the only way you can abide in God is to obey Him and listen, and that way you will dwell in the shelter of the Most High under the shadow of the Almighty. You will walk, you'll be in His righteousness, and you'll eat of the fat of the land if you obey the Lord. But if you rebel against God and you kick at the goads, then you can't expect God to bless you. You tie His hands from blessing you. We're going to talk about that. If you don't obey God, I just want to make that point. But so there's two kinds of people, basically. There's God's people, and you know, as I said, this pestilence, this plague that we've been going through, COVID-19, is connected to Passover, because Passover just ended Wednesday, and there were 10 plagues leading up to the last one Wednesday night, which was the plague of well, actually, Passover started a week ago Wednesday. Not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before. It started at sundown. And that would have been when the death angel, the 10th plague was. And the death angel came into Egypt and went through the land. And darkness, it said. Great darkness came over the land. You know, the death angel killed the firstborn of all Egyptians, but not the Jews, not God's people. And the reason God's people were spared is because they were set apart in a place called Goshen, in the land of Goshen. Read Exodus 8. It talks about how God's people were spared 8 of the 10 plagues. They only experienced, if you read in Exodus 1 through 12, you'll see that only the Jewish people, the God's people there in Egypt, experienced only two of the 10 plagues, the blood and the flies, or the blood and the gnats. And then after that, they didn't experience it, the boils or the hail or the locusts or the flies. They were in Goshen, and they didn't have those problems that all the Egyptians had, or the death of the firstborn, or the darkness. They didn't experience that. But so God has, this is a time of blessing for God's people, of rest, a time of provision for God's people, for those who are walking in obedience, listening to His voice. I'm going to talk about it. And for people who are out of the will of God, who don't know what's going on, it's going to be a time of fear for many, a time of suffering, a time of homelessness for many. You're starting to see riots in cities. You're starting to see protests. It's amazing we haven't seen more riots or robberies. It's miraculous. But we are seeing suicides go up. You don't hear about it so much in the news, but if you read about it, you'll see people are committing suicide on a national, world scale. You can Google it and find out that people committing suicide. People are hopeless because they don't have a hope. God is our only hope. As I told you, if you believe the government's going to take care of you like some of these politicians are telling you, they're lying to you, because the government is trying to take care of us and they can't do the job, because the job was never meant for man to do. God's always been doing it. He's always the one been providing for you, been growing the crops, been sending the rains. God's the one who's been putting the sunlight on the ground to grow the grass and the wheat, and so that you have bread, and the bread gets processed and goes to the supermarket, or you make your own bread. But either way, you have grain because God sends the rain. He grows the seed. He gave you the seed. You don't produce your children. God, you didn't do it. What did you do to have your? As Barack Obama said, you didn't build that. You know what you did. You did barely anything, and you ended up having a child. And if you love your child, hopefully, you know, it's a wonderful thing for that child. If not, it's a very sad thing. But you didn't do it. God did it. So anyway, let me go on. So God says in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33, he says, you know, that he's going to... We Jewish people can be found in the smallest towns, in the most remote places. However, we tend to gravitate towards large cities. The majority of Jewish people in America live in urban areas such as New York City, Boston, Baltimore, Miami, Chicago, Los Angeles. Sound familiar? Thus, we believe that the lands where you are scattered is primarily a reference to the major cities among the nations. The second place Ezekiel mentioned is the wilderness. So Ezekiel said, with a mighty hand and wrath poured out, and an outstretched arm, with wrath poured out, God says, I will be king over you. I shall bring you out from the nations and gather you from the lands where you are scattered with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. Now you say to me, Rabbi Joe, we're not destined for wrath. The Bible says Christians aren't destined for wrath. And I say, yeah, you're right. If you're in obedience to God and you're in his will, you're not destined for wrath. But if you're out of his will, you may be. And if you don't know his word, and there's a problem with discernment. Christians and Messianics, too, have a problem with discernment. Let me tell you what discernment is. To discern God's word, I was talking to somebody, a friend last night, and I said, what news do you listen to? I said, what are you hearing on the news about this pestilence, this disease? And my friend told me, they said, well, I'm hearing that things are getting better, and you know, things are getting great, and only good things and so forth. I said, oh, really? What news are you listening to? And the person said, well, I really don't listen to the news. I said, well, where are you getting your information from? Because if you turn on any news station, they'll tell you, the news will tell you there's going to be another recession. The news will tell you that we're going to be in recession or even depression by the fall. The news will tell you fear, doom, and gloom. Can I get an amen? Amen. The news will tell you that there's going to be another round of the virus is going to come back on us. But God's word says it shall pass over you. We had Passover, that this will pass over you. Just like the death angel passed over the houses of the children of Israel, this plague, which is like the lunar eclipse, is shorter. We had two lunar eclipses, one in 2014 and one in 2015, and I taught on those blood red moons. And in fact, for your gift today, I'll give you a set of all my prophetic teachings on the blood red moons. I taught 1,000 people at a major conference, international conference, with Jonathan Kahn and many other leaders, Sid Roth. And I'll send you a set of those teachings. I'll send you also my second Exodus teaching. I'll send you a mix of my prophetic teachings. And so the blood red moons in 2014 and 2015 that took place on Passover were a sign of a lunar eclipse. They weren't just a sign. They were lunar eclipses on the first night of Passover. Now, a lunar eclipse is when the earth blocks the sun, but since the earth is smaller than the sun, the little piece of light around the sun is called the corona. Everybody say corona. It's not talking about beer. It's like more like the virus, okay? It's that little bit of light that goes around the sun, and it shines out, and as it goes around the earth, it hits particles of dust, and it makes the moon look blood red. And that's where Joel 2:28 and 29 talks about the blood red moon, and so I believe the blood red moons of 2014 and 15 were prophesying the spiritual blood moon that we've just gone through, a darkness, as I said in Passover, when the death angel came over in the last plague, and one of the plagues also was darkness. when the darkness came, but it left. The darkness came, the plague of darkness came. When the darkness came of the death angel, it lasted one night. So a lunar eclipse is short. It only lasts for about an hour, whereas a solar eclipse can last several hours. And so a lunar eclipse is, everybody say a lunar eclipse is shorter. The sun passes and the earth, they pass much more quickly than when a solar eclipse is when the moon blocks the sun from the earth, and the earth can't see the sun because the moon's blocking it. And since the moon is so much closer, it actually looks bigger in front of the sun than the sun. So it blocks it, turns a total darkness, and actually not a total darkness. You still have the corona, the light that comes around. Again, the corona, but it lasts much longer, and you can't look at a solar eclipse. So anyway, I have a teaching on that. I'll give it to you. I'll send you all these things for your love gift to make our $20,000 matching gift challenge this month, okay? So let's continue. So Ezekiel said, "As I live, declares the Lord, surely with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm," and this is prophecy, this is future, "with wrath poured out, I shall be king over you." He's talking to the Jews. "And I shall bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered, and with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I shall bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I shall enter into judgment with you face to face, as I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So I'll enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God. I shall make you pass under the rod. I shall bring you into the bond of the covenant," the new covenant. "I shall purge from you the rebels, those who transgress against me." See, God wants obedient people. He says he'll purge the rebels. Hear that. He will purge the rebels. He says, who transgress against me. "I shall bring them out of the land where they sojourn," like the cities, like Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Miami, Boston, Michigan, Detroit. "But they will not enter the land of Israel. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord." Ezekiel 20-38. So this passage confirms that Moses predicted about distress coming upon the Jewish people, and I believe Christians, just prior to God bringing us back to Israel. Dear friends, please understand that if distress comes upon the Jews here in America, it will mean trying times for Christians too. I wrote this 18 years ago. New York City holds the largest population of Jewish people outside of Israel. The September 11th attack on the World Trade Center sparked much fear among New York's Jewish community. But such distress affects us all. Ezekiel mentions three places in the above passage. The first place mentioned is the lands where Jewish people are scattered, verse 34. Jewish people can be found, and that's in Ezekiel 20, verse 34. Jewish people can be found in the smallest towns in the most remote places. However, we tend to gravitate toward large cities. And what I'm saying to you is God is repopulating. He's moving people out of the cities. And people moved out. I had a realtor friend up in Baltimore, and she told me back at September 11th, people were leaving the cities. They were leaving New York. And, you know, people have been leaving Los Angeles. You can look up people moving out of Los Angeles in California. And they haven't been leaving because of this. Now they're leaving because of the COVID-19. They're going to want to leave because of the amount of sickness out there. But they're going to want to come to the Midwest, the places where there's less of it, and to the South, like Tennessee, and places like that where there's, you know, we've only had like 45 cases in our county. And 25, 30 of them have gotten better, one death. You know, we haven't seen very much of it here. God wants you to know that. You know, so people are leaving, and they've been moving to Denver from Los Angeles for the last 5 years or so, 6-7 years. They've been leaving Los Angeles because of taxes, because of pollution, because of a high house costs, housing. They can't afford it. They can make $200,000 a year, and they can't afford to live there with a family of three or four. It's impossible. So, hang on. Amen. Can I get an amen? People are moving, and it's causing the prices of housing to go up. My friend in Denver, Rabbi Burt, says the home prices in Denver have gone skyrocketed because all these Californians have been moving there, and Texas as well. these Californians have been moving there. People from the cities are leaving. And Isaiah chapter 6, if you read with me, in Isaiah chapter 6, turn there for a moment, please. By the way, speaking let's just turn to Isaiah 6. Thank you, Lord. So the prophet Isaiah has a vision of God, and he realizes he's, even though he's a prophet, he's a sinner. He's got sin in his life, and God is holy, and you can't go to God in your sin. You have to be cleansed. So it says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, Isaiah 6:1, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet. With two he flew, and one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sevaot. Melo kol ha'aretz kavodo. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal, his hand that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth and with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is forgiven. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Interesting, us. Who will go for us? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all the host of heaven. And then I said, Here I am, send me. He said, Go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Romans 1. The people will be dulled. They'll be given over to their pleasures in the end times, and they won't see God. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts. You can parallel this with Romans chapter 1. And return and be healed, if they could only hear and see and listen. Then I said, Lord, how long will this go on, this unrepentance, this rebelliousness? He says, until the cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses or without people. Why will the houses be without people? Well, if you lived in New York City and they had 10 to 15,000 deaths from this COVID-19, 700 or 800 people a day from it, and almost half of the city getting sick with it, and people are scared. Do you think you might think about relocating? And the prices of real estate are dropping in New York because people are not able to pay their mortgages or their rent. So their real estate market's is possibly dropping there, maybe temporarily, but even so. People are going to be fleeing New York. Where are they going to go? I mean, they only have so many choices. They're going to go to Boston? No. They're going to go to Chicago? No. They're going to come to the Midwest. They're going to go to the country. They're going to go to North Carolina and Tennessee and Georgia. They're going to go to places where they can settle more cheaply, less expensively, and in wider spread out where they can social distance. You know, and I lived in New York. You can't social distance. In New York, people are, the average social distance in New York is about a foot, and bumping into people is commonplace. Here, if you bump into somebody, they'll want to fight you. But in New York, if you bump into somebody, it's just part of a day's, it's a day's adventure of getting bumped about 15 times when you're walking because you're just so close to people. People are going to flee that, and they're going to go to the country. I promise you, watch and see, the cities are going to empty out. So why are they going to empty out? Because God says to Isaiah in chapter 6, render the hearts of this people, verse 10, Verse 9, he says, go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive, but do not understand. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive so that they don't get it. Like God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He didn't get it. Took him 10 plagues to get it, and even then he chased the Israelites. Their ears dull, their eyes dim. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return. To return means to repent. Teshuvah is the word in Hebrew. Teshuvah, to return to God and be healed. And God said, and Isaiah said, then I said to the Lord, how long will this happen? How long will this sin that's causing the plague? What causes the pestilence? Sin. It's man's refusal to acknowledge God and give Him glory. It's man's desire for pleasure, pride, lust, greed, envy, jealousness, covetousness, dishonoring parents, using a foul mouth, stealing, treachery, fraud, bearing false witness, coveting your neighbor's wife, stealing, all these things, lying, are the sins, abortion. These are all the sins that are causing causing these things to happen. It isn't global warming. It's God's judgment on the earth because of sin, brother and sister. It has nothing to do with global warming. Come live in Tennessee. We don't really have global warming. We have plenty of rain all year round, mostly, and sometimes we have a little drought, but then it rains. And it fills the cisterns up, right, Don? Right, sister? It fills the cisterns up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Get over it. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So Isaiah says, how long, Lord? And the Lord says, until the cities are devastated and without houses and without inhabitant, without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the earth. And there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will be again subject to burning, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. You see, God is saying to the world He won't destroy everybody. There'll be a remnant from among all nations of people that will survive all of these plagues that are coming upon the earth. And this is just one. Get ready, because now 4 years ago, I predicted. And I wrote another prophetic article 4 years ago called The Last President of the United States. And I didn't know at the time, it was in February of 2016, 9 months before Donald Trump was elected. I was supporting another candidate, I won't name. But I saw something in Daniel chapter 8. I'd been reading Daniel chapter 8. And you can go to Daniel chapter 8 if you like, but I'll tell you what happens. In Daniel chapter 8, it's a prophecy that hasn't come to pass. And Iran starts to get buck wildly. Every nation has a prophetic beast. And I talk about it in part 2, The Last President of the United States, part 2, about how every nation has a beast that represents it, a prophetic beast. So the United States, our beast is the bald eagle. Iran's prophetic beast is the black leopard, or the Persian leopard. Russia's beast is the grizzly bear. China's beast is the dragon and the panda bear. They don't believe the dragon's real, even though they use it in their New Year's. But a dragon is real. Revelation 12 tells us that Satan is the dragon. So China represents Satan. So if you're wondering why we're always getting these wonderful plagues out of China, it's because China's beast is the dragon, is Satan. And England has two interesting beasts. In the time of Daniel, the beast of England didn't exist. In the time of Daniel, in 586 BC, at its height, Babylon had the symbol of the lion with the two wings of the eagle, the gold lion with two wings of the great eagle. And now today, the lion represents England, but also the dragon is a symbol of England. And so at some point, there's going to be, I believe, a confederacy. Just as England has broken away from the European Union, it's going to join with China and the beast nations of Revelation 13. But that's for another day. But you can, I will send you this again. If for your love gift, I'll send you these, and you can read about them. So in Daniel 8, there's two beasts, prophetic beasts. One is Persia, is a ram, and the ram is bucking wildly, and it has two horns, and they're bucking to the west towards us, to the north towards Russia, and they're bucking towards and to the south, which is the Straits of Hormuz in Africa, where oil passes through the Straits of Hormuz in the Persian Gulf. They're trying to control that. And what are they doing? They're attacking us. They're before this disease stuff, all this stuff was in the news. You can Google it. Iran plans attacks on the United States and Iraq. They've been attacking us since 2003. The Iranians have been putting IEDs and roadside bombs and blowing up Americans and killed over 1,500 Americans, soldiers and CIA operatives in Iraq. They attacked our embassy back a few months ago when Qasem Soleimani, the general from Iran, from the Revolutionary Brigade, very high-ranking general, running Iran and running the part that would have been called Medo-Persia, the part of Media. He was running that area of Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, southern Turkey. And these are areas, Assyria, which would be ancient Nineveh, controlled by, they helped get rid of ISIS and the Shiites. These are Shiite Muslims. The Lebanese are Shiite Muslims. The Hezbollah, the Syrians are Shiite Muslims. And so he's trying to confederate to get the Shiite Muslims. In Iraq, too, is half Shiite, half Sunni, trying to kill the Sunnis, get rid of them, get them out of power, and take over Iraq. They're fighting in Yemen between the Sunnis and the Shiites. There's a war going on in the Middle East between the Shiites and the Sunnis, and that's why the United States is working with Saudi Arabia and Jordan and United Arab Emirates and other countries in the Middle East, oil countries, to fight the Iranians, because those are Sunni countries, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and so forth. And they don't want Iran. They're all afraid of Iran. So there's a war going on, and Iran is threatening to attack us. So here in chapter 8 of Daniel, we see we're being attacked at the west. And there's a leader who rises up during that time when the West is being attacked in Daniel chapter 8. And he's a goat with one horn. And it says that the goat struck. The goat came from the West. It was a male goat. And this is 2016 when I wrote this and I preached it. And while I was observing, verse 5, behold, a male goat was coming from the west, and the horn of a beast represents the military or in the power of that leader. Because if you look at a rhinoceros or an elephant or a moose or an elk, their horn is used, or a 10-point buck, is used as a weapon to fight, to defend, or to be offensive. And so a horn on a beast prophetically represents a nation's military power and its government and its leader. And so it says in chapter 8 of Daniel in verse 5, while I was observing, behold, a male goat was coming from the west over the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground, and the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. He came up to the ram that had two horns, that was Persia, Iran, which I had seen standing in front of the canal, and rushed him in the mighty wrath. I saw him come beside the ram, and he was enraged at him, and he struck the ram. Now, and shattered the two horns, and the ram had no strength to withstand him, so he hurled him to the ground and trampled on him, and there was none to rescue the ram, that's Iran and Medo-Persia, from his power. Then the male goat magnified himself exceedingly, but as soon as he was mighty, the large horn was broken, And in his place there came up from four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. Now, theologians will tell you this is Alexander the Great, but the angel Gabriel comes and tells and gives an interpretation, and he says to Daniel, Daniel, this is for the very end of days, the very, very end of days, the time of the indignation, the time of the abomination of desolation, the time when the temple is desecrated by the Antichrist. You know, that's what this time is for. So this can't be talking just about Alexander the Great. I believe in the dual fulfillment of prophecy. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? I believe in the dual fulfillment of prophecy, that all prophecies have more than one fulfillment. For example, Isaiah 7:14 says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." That was given as a sign to King Ahaz? It was given to, that the Assyrians would not attack Jerusalem. And they didn't attack Jerusalem. And it was given a sign that a virgin would bear a son. But that prophecy came true with Miriam, the wife of Joseph, who gave birth to the Messiah. So it was also a messianic prophecy. It had a dual fulfillment. You understand? Okay, so let's look at, we see, who is this goat from the west? Now, while I was observing, verse 5, behold, a male goat was coming from the west over the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground. Now, why would a Western power, a king with a mighty army, fly over the whole earth without touching the ground? Why would he have to destroy Iran's military and break it? And you see, I struck the ram in verse 7 and destroyed its two horns, and it was unable to fight back, and it was trampled to the ground. There was none to rescue from his power. Why in the future, in the prophetic end time, would Iran have to be destroyed? Well, this is where I said God's words, God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Iran is building nuclear weapons. Don, you can turn the air, make it a little warmer if you want, a degree or two. So God is, Iran is developing nuclear weapons to destroy America. You think the coronavirus will destroy America? Imagine what nuclear weapons will do to this country if we were to get nuked, okay? And he also threatens to nuke Israel. Here's the problem with that. Israel, it doesn't say anything about America not being nuked in the Bible, but it does say Israel will endure. Hold your place and turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Let's see Israel's future here. Jeremiah 31 in verse 35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel also will cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off all the offspring of Israel for all they have done, declares the Lord. So God is saying, as long as there is a fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night and the sun by day, and a Lord who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs from me, which I don't think it will, there will always be an offspring, and of Israel will never cease from being a nation. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be destroyed, can be measured, then and the foundations of the earth searched out below, then I will also cast off all the offspring. Can we measure the foundations of the earth, Dawn? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. He says, if I can measure the foundations of the earth, then I will cast off all the offsprings of Israel for all they have done. Yes, Israel has sinned. Israel is getting the coronavirus too. But they're still God's chosen people. And God is going to fulfill. He's going to dwell in Jerusalem. Just read Zechariah 8. He's going to choose. He's zealous for Zion. He will dwell in Jerusalem. It says it right there in Zechariah 8. The Lord's coming back to dwell in Jerusalem. Read Zechariah 8 through 16. I encourage you. Turn back to Jeremiah 30. Here's another verse. You think, so Israel is not nuked. It will always exist. What will happen to the other nations? Jeremiah 30, verse 10. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, declares the Lord, and do not be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar and your offspring from the land of their captivity. That's us living in captivity. And Jacob will return and be quiet and at ease, and no one will make him afraid, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to save you. Listen, people, for I will destroy completely all the nations where I have scattered you. That's the United States, Europe, every country on the earth. Asia, Japan, China, every country will be destroyed. India, wherever a Jew has set foot. Germany, every country where a Jew has set foot. Czechoslovakia, Peru, Argentina, Venezuela will be destroyed completely. It says in verse 11, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to save you. For I will destroy completely all the nations where I have scattered you. Don't listen to CNN. I will not destroy you completely. But I will chasten you justly and will by no means leave you unpunished. For thus says the Lord, your wound is incurable and your injury is serious. But God, basically God says in verse 18, thus says the Lord, behold, I will restore the fortunes of the tents of Jacob and have compassion on his dwelling places. And the city will be rebuilt on its ruin and the palace will stand on its rightful place. From them will proceed thanksgiving. Oh my God, the promises of Israel in Jeremiah 30 through 33 are amazing. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord your God, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you. That's a promise you can take. If you stand with Israel, if you're in obedience to God, then you can believe that, people. Praise God. So in Daniel 8, if you go back to Daniel 8, Israel can't be nuked. Here's the bottom line with God. Israel cannot be blown off the planet. Do you understand that? Israel must survive, people. And so God had to raise up. It says in that he would raise up a male goat. Well, I said this 4 years ago, not knowing who it was, but it had us an idea when it says that when the goat finished his job destroying Iran's military, breaking its horns, destroying its nuclear weapons and its military and its government, that this leader from the West. Now, what leader from the West would travel over the whole earth without touching the ground? And by the way, just for a little hint, the current president sent planes and ships without touching the ground and landed those planes on air bases and said, no boots on the ground. You can Google this and look it up. And there's at least a dozen Air Force bases surrounding Iran, American Air Force bases. The current president has set Air Force bases, said we're not going to send in soldiers, we're just going to use planes if we have to deal with Iran, and we'll take them out. There's only one country in the West. Do you know what country has the power to take out Iran's bunkers? Can I get an amen? It's the United States. We're the only one. We used to have a 5,000-pound bunker buster bomb. Now we have a 12,000-pound bunker buster bomb. 12,000 pounds, more than double the size of our one we had 15 years ago. They've been digging in mountains and building their nuclear facilities. That our bomb can go, I think it can go something like 250 feet into the ground before it explodes. This bomb is so powerful, it goes 250 feet into the mountain, and then it explodes, and it blows up everything underneath it. Just caves will shatter, equipment will shatter, people will die, and the only Western leader. Do you think Joe Biden would attack Iran? His buddy Barack Obama made a nuclear arms treaty. Do you think he would attack Iran's nuclear weapons? Not trying to be political. I'm just trying to be true. I don't think so. I don't think any other country besides the U.S. England doesn't have the power to do it. They won't do it. France doesn't have the power to take out Iran's nuclear weapons. Only the United States in the West. Russia won't do it. And I'm not sure they have the power to do it the way we do. From the West. Again, in Ezekiel, Daniel chapter 8, verse 5, it says, a goat will come from the West. And that's us. We're the West.
fly over the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground. And it says, then it said, once he does it, this guy would magnify himself. So I'm in the middle of the presidential election of 2016, and I'm in the middle of the election, and who's in the election? There's Ted Cruz, and there's Mike Huckabee, and Carly Fiorina is still left, I think, and a few other people are on the Republican side. And then on the Democrat side, there's Bernie Sanders, and there's Hillary Clinton. And I said, well, Bernie's not going to do it. Bernie's not going to attack. He's not going to blow up Iran's nuclear weapons. Can I get an amen? Amen. In fact, he's not even in the race. In 2020, he's not in the race. Amen. Get over it. Okay. Now, the only other person in the race at that time was a female. And it says here in verse 5 that the goat was a male. Now, I don't think, some people, I've heard jokes about people saying Hillary Clinton's a male, but I don't think she is. I think she's a female. And I don't know what her preference is, but get over it. She's a female. And it says here that if this goat is a male, and this male goat would attack Iran. So it couldn't be Hillary. So who did that leave us with? Donald John Trump, President of the United States, right? He's the only one with the chutzpah, we say in Jewish, the chutzpah, the gumption. In Spanish, they have another word I won't use. Praise the Lord. But some of you know what that word is. And it has to do with a bull. But anyway, Donald Trump is the only one with the chutzpah, with the gumption to do it, to attack Iran. But he won't attack them unless we're attacked first. See, he's very smooth that way. He waits until they attack us, like they attacked our embassy, and then he destroyed their general. And, you know, it's just like this Chinese virus. Donald Trump stopped travel back in early March, stopped travel between China and the United States, saved tens of thousands of lives, maybe 100,000 lives or more, by stopping flights from China to here. And they called him a racist. You can Google it. They called him a xenophobe and a racist. Then they praised him. You know, they didn't praise him, but they said we needed to stop travel. They said he didn't do enough. They were calling him a racist when he shut the travel. And then they said he didn't do it early enough on his opposing side. You know, nothing. He can't do anything right. You know, he brought the governor of New York a ship with 1,000 beds. They have only used less than 200 of the beds in New York, and they had to share it with New Jersey because New Jersey needed help. So they shared the boat with New Jersey, the Mercy or the Comfort. They built all these tent hospitals, and the governor was begging, I need ventilators. I need 40,000 ventilators. I need 40,000. They've only given me 5,000 ventilators. I need ventilators. Ventilators. He never used all the... He's giving ventilators away to other states. He's selling them or leasing them to other states because he didn't need them all. He never got his 40,000. He might have gotten 15,000 or something, 20,000. But he didn't need them all. And, you know, I only one time saw him thank the President of the United States, Donald John Trump, for all that he did for him and building hospitals in New York and sending doctors. There's 2,000 doctors and military doctors and nurses in New York that Trump sent yesterday. You can Google me and fact check me on that, to New York to help. Trump's from New York. It's his home. Grew up in Queens, you know. He loves New York. New York doesn't like him so much, a lot of New Yorkers, but Trump loves New York. So, but I'm not trying to get into politics. I'm just trying to say the only person who can destroy Iran's nuclear weapons is Donald Trump. But that's going to be the last thing he does, because here's what happens. It says in verse 8, then the male goat magnified himself, that would be Trump, but as soon as he was mighty, and the large horn, his military, his government, possibly his life, you know, I don't wish death on anybody, but in its place there came up four, it will be taken out, his government, and in its place will come up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. So for this America, what I'm saying to you, we are the eagle that comes out of Daniel's is from Babylon. He was living in Babylon, and the symbol of Babylon was the golden the lion with the two wings of the eagle sticking out. And I explain about what happens to the two wings of the eagle in part two of The Last President of the United States. What I said 4 years ago is that Donald Trump would be elected. I spoke it 9 months before he was elected, that he would be the next president of 2016, that the economy would rise immensely when he became president, and the stock market rose 40%, which is an indicator of the economy. It's not the only indicator, but it went up 40%, and I didn't do anything about it. I stood on the sideline, and I didn't take advantage of it. And you know, if you're like an ostrich with your head buried in the sand, if you don't do when God tells you to do something and you don't obey, you're going to miss the blessing. Amen. And so anyway, and then I also said that in this newsletter that there would be difficult times too, but that Trump would be elected a second term. He would be president for 7 to 8 years, and I talk about it in part two of this, of The Last President of the United States. He would be elected for two terms, and that there would be times of prosperity for probably the first 2 or maybe 3 years of his second term, but then things would turn again for America. So I feel in my spirit, and I'm just prophesying biblically. I'm not an expert. I'm not a financial expert. I'm not a stockbroker or anything like that, or any kind of an economist. I'm just saying, from what I see in the Bible, I believe that times. See, the news media. I told you about my friend who was telling me that everything's going to get rosy and better. And I said, well, where are you getting that? What is the media? What are you hearing in the media? And this person said, I'm hearing that everything's going to be rosy and great. Although I'm listening to both sides of the media, the CNBC, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, you name it. I'm listening to all these different sides, and I'm hearing doom and gloom, particularly on the left. I'm hearing a massive recession, hearing a massive depression. Tell me, can I get an amen if you're hearing that if you're watching the left news, you're hearing that the virus is coming back and that we're headed for a great recession. Well, folks, I got to tell you something. We're in a recession, and the stock market's already just come back about 40-50% of the S&P 500 has come back 40-50% of where it was, or more, where it was before the collapse. It's come back that much. Are you watching it? Are you following it? You know, I talk about how, you know, and this is my newsletter this month, Prospering in a Time of Famine. Now, there was a famine in the land and in the time of Isaac, and God told Isaac, even though he had fear, he didn't want to stay in the famine. What is famine? Famine is another word for drought, or famine is drought, no food. It can be caused by pestilence, by disease. When you have disease, you have no toilet paper, no sanitizer, no food on the shelves. People can go hungry, they lose their jobs. That can cause a famine, right, Don? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So Isaac, but God said, stay in the land. And it says, Isaac sowed in that land. I believe it was verse 12 of Genesis 26. Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. That's 100 times as much as he sowed. He reaped 100-fold within, not in a year, but within a year, he reaped 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. This newsletter is going to teach you how you can sow first for the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. First, sow for God, and don't stop giving to the Lord, even if it's just, you know, if you've lost your job. If you can give the widow's mite, sow, give your tithe, give your offerings to the Lord. But once you've served God and you've done your part for God, sow for your life, for your family, and take the other 90% and sow into your business, whatever it is. You know, Isaac was a shepherd, so he sowed whatever helped him build flocks, maybe growing farmland or grass pasture. You know, God prospered him in pasture so he could feed his flocks and grow. Maybe he gave him more sheep because somebody didn't want their livestock, and he took them and was able to make the flock grow. But whatever he did, he said, Isaac prospered. He a hundredfold. He sowed in the land of famine, and he prospered a hundredfold. So this gives you both a spiritual application, a God application, and a personal application that you can use right now. And we're going to send this out this week. So you can sign up at my website, www.forzionsake.org, and you can get this newsletter sent to you on prospering in a land, a time of famine, and both spiritually for God, materially for your family, and biblically. So it's biblical. God wants you to prosper. He says, you know, for I know the plans I have for you, Jeremiah 29:11, plans to give you a hope and a future, to prosper you. And Psalm 118 says, O Lord, prosper us. King David wrote it. He said, O Lord, send prosperity. It's okay. God wants you to prosper. He says, be fruitful and multiply. You can't minister to people if you don't prosper. If you can't prosper, if you can't feed your own family, what kind of testimony are you going to be to the guy across the street? If you can't afford a car that goes, what's your witness? You tell the guy, oh, I go to church every week. Jesus, praise Jesus, my car doesn't work. Can I get an amen? You know, praise Jesus, my car doesn't work. Praise Jesus, my roof is leaking and I can't fix it. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Seriously, you know, what kind of a testimony is that? God, people want to see a testimony of victory in your life, even if you're suffering. I've been going through cancer, and people have been saying they love my smile, they love my attitude. Well, why should I cry? Yes, I have bad days, but why should I cry all over Facebook, you know, when I'm not crying at home? I'm just living my life. You're living my life. If you're social distancing now and you're staying at home, welcome to my life. I've been staying at home. I haven't been able to go swimming on and off for 5 years since my immune issues have come back. I'm fighting the cancer. I've been wearing masks. I have pictures of me wearing masks on planes for the last 5 years. I'm a trendsetter. Can I get an amen? You're living my life now. Now, would you like to stay in your house for 5 years or your office? My life basically for the last 5 years has gone between the office, the doctor's office, the gym to keep my body moving somewhat, very light workouts, but still moderate workouts, but I have to keep my body moving. And I go to the office, and I mostly go to like a ping pong ball to doctor's offices. But this is what I do. So this fulfills me. And I have a family, and that fulfills me. And that satisfies me. Praise God. It keeps me going. So I believe, in conclusion, that, let me just say this. Don't believe the doom and gloomers. If the stock market was going to crash, it would have already crashed this week, because earnings reports are coming in from businesses. I'm following it. And they're coming in poorly, and the market's still up. It was up 700 points on Friday. And yet earnings reports are coming in from corporations. A lot of them are coming in very bad. And Starbucks, for example, their stock went up. I like Starbucks. This isn't Starbucks, but I like Starbucks coffee. Can I get an amen? Some people don't like it. I don't like it. Can I get an amen? If you don't like it, get over it. All right? Now praise the Lord. Now their stock went up like $7 yesterday, and their earnings, the guy who used to own the company, Howard Schultz, he said, our earnings are going to come out horrible for the last quarter and the next quarter because our stores have been shut. But they said, we're going to start opening stores next week. See, we're passing through. Folks, the plague is ending. We're coming over the hump. We're coming down on the downside of the slope. It's ending. They're going to open up businesses. People are starting to come outside in the warm weather, and they're honking their horns around state capitals. They want they're getting mad. They're protesting their governors. Open up. We want to go back to work. Hey, listen, if people can go to supermarkets and work in supermarkets and not get sick and wear masks and work at McDonald's drive-thru and not get sick and wear masks, why can't they work in an antique store with a mask and social distance and sell their products? Why can't they work in a restaurant, even if they let only a certain amount of people in and lock the door at a time and tell people to social distance and wear masks, whatever, eat with a mask on? I'm going to invent a mask with buttons so that you can open up for your, and chew, and then you can button up your mask and zip it. Oh, actually, it'll be a mask with a zipper, Don. Velcro? Oh, okay, we'll have a Velcro mask that you can flip it down and eat, and then you can close it right up after you've eaten. It's the down the hatch mask. Rabbi Joe and Don's down the hatch mask. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're with us, Facebook and live streamers. We love you. And so let me just want to say, I'm not a doom and gloomer. Stop listening to the doom and gloom. The markets are coming up. People are getting out. Businesses are going to open up. The economy is going to come back. There may be bumps in the road. There may be down days. There may be 25 million people are out of work. I'm very sorry, and I pray you get a job. I pray your company. My wife's not been working. She's a pilot. Her job's based out of Newark, New Jersey. Newark's been shut down, basically. She hasn't been able to fly since mid-February. We're shut down. There's only three of us here. I'm just here preaching to cameras, which is fine. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. But, it's okay, because God is my provider, not the U.S. government. Nobody else. I mean, I'm grateful for your gifts, and I really am. But you only give because God touches your heart. Amen? That's the only reason you give and support us. No. God bless you, and don't believe the doom and gloom. If we're on the upswing. I really believe we are. You need to pray about it. Don't take my word for it. Pray about it. Don't listen to the people, the nasty folks on the news that are. I saw a guy. The stock market rose 700 points yesterday, and the night before, I heard a guy say on business news. He said, "I'm sitting on my hands. I'm not buying anything, because I don't believe this market's coming back," he said. The next day it rose 700 points. What a knucklehead, huh? What a knucklehead. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He should have bought a bunch that night. He probably went home on E-Trade and bought, 500,000 in stocks and didn't tell anybody. But got off his hands, you know what I'm saying? When he saw that the futures, because they put the futures out what the next day is going to be, and it went up 700 points Friday. Praise the Lord. Don't believe the bad report. Don't just assume. Dr. Fauci, the main doctor, epidemiologist in this whole thing, he was agreeing that the world, telling people to follow the World Health Organization. And then the day before, he came out and said, the World Health Organization lied to us and didn't tell us about that you could get this human-to-human contact. This coronavirus was human-to-human. He didn't know about it until much later, because the World Health Organization didn't give us the information. Dr. Fauci was quite upset. And praise the Lord. So he seems to be more of an honest man than people give him credit for. And don't believe everything you hear. Pray about what you hear. And believe the word of God. When you get this newsletter, it's going to give you a lot of faith, prospering in a time of famine. So go to www.forzionsake.org and sign up for it. We'll send you a copy of it. We can send it by snail mail or email, but sign up for it. And it's also, I have a lot of faith teachings already on my website, And on Facebook, you can just look at my Facebook page, www.forzionsake.org. Look through some of my messages. They're already there on faith and encouragement during this time, and give you biblical hope. That's what you need, is God's hope. You need to hear from God, people. If you don't, this, and I'll go back to discernment, okay? Hang on. Folks, if you don't know what my, like my friend, if you don't know what the world is saying, and you're hearing because you've been talking to friends or somebody that said everything's rosy, everything's going to be great, but you don't know if the world's telling millions of people doom and gloom, depression, recession, a return of the plague, all these things that aren't, I don't believe are true. I believe my friend is right. It's just where is my friend getting their information? You know, not from the media. So if you know what the wrong media is saying, and you know what God's word is saying, which is telling you the right thing, that's how you get discernment. It says, "Show thyself, study thyself approved, to show thyself a workman approved of God for every good." Oh, can somebody look that verse up for me? Study to show thyself approved, a workman. Thank you, Lord. You got to study. Yeah, tell me when you have it, Diane. You got to study, folks. You got to know the Word of God, but you also got to know what the world's teaching, because you got to know what the devil's saying in order to fight the devil. You know, let me give you an example. King David fought. His son took over the kingdom, Absalom. So David left the city, and this descendant of King Saul, relative of King Saul, came out of his house and started cursing David as David was fleeing Jerusalem with his men. This guy, I think his name was Abishai or something, or Shammai. I think it was Shammai was his name. And he came out and he was cursing David, and he was throwing rocks at him. And David said, "Well, just leave him alone. You know, maybe I am cursed. Maybe he's right." And so David said, "Just leave him alone." David's men wanted to kill him. But so he cursed David and he threw rocks at him. And David just walked on. But then years later, at David's death, David said to his son Solomon, he said, "Solomon, don't let that man's head, his hoary head, his gray-haired head, go down to the grave in peace. Don't let his hoary head go down to the grave in peace. You finish what I should have done. I should have taken his life, because he struck the Lord's anointed, but I didn't do it." Amen? He didn't do it. So he said this, and he promised not to do it, so he kept his word. But he didn't say his son wouldn't do it. So one day, Shammai was under orders to stay in Jerusalem, and he violated the orders, and when he came back, Solomon had him put to death. And so, you know, King David took care of his enemies so that his son's kingdom would be set up and his son would be strong. Amen? And King David took care, dealt with his enemies. But you can't... Discernment means... Sometimes it takes years to get discernment. It took David years to figure out what he was going to do with Shammai. From the time he was kicked out by Absalom to the time of his death, you know, it might have been 10, 15, 20 years. King David, you know, it took him a long time to figure out, to discern, what do I do with this guy, Lord? He prayed about it. But you have to know what the devil is saying, and you have to know what God is saying to have discernment. And one of the things I've heard from pastors and leaders in the church is that Christians, what they lack the most is biblical discernment. They don't read the Bible. They don't understand it. They don't read their Bibles. They just listen to their preachers. It's not enough. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to study. Study to...
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. "Do all you can to present yourself to God as someone worthy of his approval, as a worker with no need to be ashamed, because he deals straightforwardly with the word of the truth."
Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Say it again, Diane. Study.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
Read it again.
"Do all you can to present yourself to God as someone worthy of his approval, as a worker with no need to be ashamed, because he deals straightforwardly with the word of the truth.
See, know the word, but also know what the devil's saying. And right now, sometimes the devil speaks through people, but people on TV are people too, right? So the people speaking to millions on the television are speaking the devil's words. And you got to know what the devil's saying in order to combat it with God's word. If not, you're going to believe, that's going to, gold dust is going to come down from the heaven. You're going to believe it when some prophet gets up and tells you gold dust. You know, somebody came to me the other day with a word. They said they got a video. And I want to give you discernment. There's people are listening to stuff. There's all kinds of conspiracy theories. And I'm going to bring it to an end right here after this. People are listening to all these conspiracy theories. Listen, folks. When you listen to a video on Facebook or whatever social media, who's talking? Do they give their name? If they don't give their name, if I get a letter from somebody, a prophecy or a teaching, and they don't sign it, in the trash. Right away, in the trash. If it's on video and I don't know who it is, I don't watch it. And you know what else? If they don't have a covering, if they don't immediately say, I'm Rabbi Joe Bell, I'm covered by the IAMCS, International Association of Messianic Congregations and Synagogues, and I'm a member of the MJ, Messianic Jewish Alliance of America, I'm ordained by the International Association of Messianic Congregations and Synagogues, if they don't identify themselves as the real thing, as I did earlier, you know, and said who I was and how long I've been here, and I was ordained by 12 rabbis, you know, I'm covered. I can prove to you my board of directors, my covering. Just ask me, call me, and I'll give you that information. But if somebody doesn't say who their covering is, and they don't say, they don't have a covering, they don't even name their name, who qualifies them to speak on YouTube? What qualifies them to teach you? Then I saw this video that the person was skeptical that gave me the video. They were skeptical, so they gave it to me to watch. So I watched it, and I said, well, they took President Trump out of context, and they kept using his clips, and then they would say that he's given the whole government over to FEMA, that he's transferred power to FEMA. But it was all based on clips that were taken out of context and snips and clips. Amen? And there was no continuity. And then they gave all these executive orders talking about what power that past presidents have given FEMA. Well, President Trump and maybe President Obama have taken away those executive orders, because the only person who can erase an executive order is a president. President Trump has erased most of President Obama's executive orders. So just because a president in the past gave an executive order doesn't mean it still applies to the current president. You understand that? So I said, you know, this video is baloney. Get rid of it. This isn't true. It's just it's a conspiracy theory. About the if FEMA was in charge, why is the president getting up in front of the country and giving his updates every day? If FEMA's in charge, where's the FEMA guy? He's not there. Where's the FEMA guy? You know, you got the EPA guy, you got the doctors, you got the Surgeon General, but where's the FEMA guy? He's just not there. Praise the Lord. Where's Bill Gates? All these conspiracy theories against Bill Gates, that he owns the patent to the virus? Come on. Bill Gates owns the patent to the virus? What company is it? I like to invest in it. Tell me if you know. And also, they say he owns the patent to the vaccine. Don't take the vaccine. Now, let me tell you something. They're fighting right now just to get an antiviral to ease the symptoms if you get the disease that's killed over, is it 50,000 Americans now? 40,000 Americans have died already from this coronavirus, much quicker than the regular flu. 40,000 Americans have died so far, and more than any other country that we know that's been truthful, have died from this coronavirus, and they're telling you, people are saying it's not real. It's real, folks. My medical friends, believe me, as a cancer patient, I'm around a lot of medical people. They tell me it's killing organs, hearts, lungs, kidneys are failing, all kinds of organs, livers are failing, pulmonary, coronary, it's failing. People are dying from this, they're having mass graves in New York City, 700, 800 people a day. That's a lot of bodies. They just found 17 bodies in a morgue in a nursing home in New Jersey with room for 4 bodies. They had 17 bodies stuffed in there. It was disgusting what's going on in this world. And people are saying it's not real. It's real. And they're just trying to get, right now they're working on something to ease the symptoms so you live if you get it. A company called Gilead is coming out with a medicine to help you. 80 to 90% of Americans get over the, and also they have hydrochloroquine, and they have Z-Packs are helping people too. Well, except there's no money in that because it's been around 60 years, the hydrochloroquine for malaria. So since nobody's making any money on that, so they don't talk about it on the business news. Anyway, but many people, the presidents encourage people to take it. One Democratic person from, I think it was Michigan, she was a senator, she took it and she got healed. Praise the Lord. She took the hydrochloroquine. She gave credit to the President of the United States for suggesting it to her, and the disease went away in 2 or 3 hours. 2 or 3 hours! Praise God. Now, I'm not telling you what to take. I'm just saying these are testimonies I'm hearing people give. So then they're coming out with a vaccine. Now, if this thing is as deadly as they say, and then there's people telling people not to take the vaccine if it ever comes out. Well, if the disease will kill you, and 40,000 people have died in a month and a half in America, or 2 months, and it's deadly, and it could keep coming around and around year after year. Polio, I have relatives who had polio, and people I know, my parents' friends growing up, I saw their shriveled legs. I saw their limp and their suffering from polio. Polio vaccine saved their lives. I only know that there's 5-6 years ago, there were 2 or 3 countries in the world that still had polio, mostly in Africa. And everybody thinks Bill Gates is the devil, but he was giving. I was in the Rotary Club, and I didn't think I was the devil. We were trying to end polio. That's the goal of the Rotary Club, charitably. The Rotary Club raises money to eradicate polio in the world. That's the main charity they give to. And Bill Gates and his foundation and his wife give dollar for dollar to eradicate polio. And I don't know where they're at right now. It's been about 5 or 6 years since I last heard a report because I got cancer again. But the bottom line is they're trying to eradicate polio. I can't understand, listen, I don't know much about Bill Gates, but I can't understand why he would want his stockholders, he's still got a lot of Microsoft stock, why he'd want his stockholders to die taking a vaccine for this coronavirus and lose the stock, sell the stock. I don't understand that. You know, just you explain that to me, all right? I either give me an amen or get over it. a lot of Americans, the average mom and pops, own. If you have an IRA or a 401k or you have a pension plan, you probably own Microsoft. It's probably in your 401k. It's like candy. It's in everybody's 401k, IRA. Almost every mom and pop American owns 25, 50 shares of or 100 shares of Microsoft. It's just in there. It's in every index fund. It's in it. It's everywhere. If you own a big S&P 500 index fund, Microsoft's in there.
Yep.
You're going to own it. And so you're connected to Bill Gates, whether you probably know it or not. And I don't think he wants to kill you. I think he wants to make money. Personally, that's just my personal feeling. But again, I don't know Bill Gates, but I'll just leave it at that. On the news last night, I heard he was giving them money to grow this drug. Helps. They can only come up with $140,000 of this antiviral drug, Remdesivir, that Gilead, which he doesn't own. He doesn't own Gilead. He may be investing in it, but it just came out that Remdesivir is starting to be effective in fighting coronavirus, and Bill's starting to give money to help the U.S. government produce more of it to help people overcome the symptoms of the disease. To me, that's a good thing.
Amen?
Amen. I don't want to preach. I'm tired of conspiracy theories. No more doom and gloom, guys. The darkness is passing. The light has come. People are going to be going outside. Maybe people will be wearing masks for a long time. And life will never be the same for a while, if ever. But things are going to get better. I really believe that with all my heart. Things are going to get better and not worse. And you've got to have faith and not fear. Be like Isaac, who overcame his fear, sowed in a land of famine, and reaped 100-fold in 1 year. There's many opportunities right now. Right now. This is a word for you. There's many opportunities to sow right now, whether you buy real estate that's cheap, whether you buy, sow into the stock market, you get a good deal. I don't know. I'm not telling you what to do. You pray about it. You deal with a professional. But there's many opportunities to sow and ministries to sow into that God will bless you for blessing. And take those opportunities right now. I'm talking about the next few weeks, maybe a month. You might not have this opportunity again. And the last thing I'll say is, I was having a talk with my sons. They were getting stir crazy at home. And I said, boys, why don't you, at the end of the conversation, we prayed, and the Lord gave me an idea, because my boys are tech savvy. He said, why don't you tell them to start a ministry called Help Your Neighbor Try Cities on social internet, social media. Help Your Neighbor Try Cities. And I said I'd give them the names of some rich people to invite, or well-to-do people, and people who have need, and invite them, not just put them on there, but invite them to join. And so that it would bring people with need and people with resources together so that they could help one another, because there's families, there's older people who can't go to the supermarket and they need help. There's people who are subject to the virus, like myself, theoretically, immunocompromised, that can't go out and can't go get stuff for themselves. They need help. There's people with children who can't feed their kids or electric bills, people who need help paying their rent. And there's people who can help them survive a month or two, just till they can get back to work, But that's a way that you can help people. There's an opportunity there, right there. You can do it. You can serve God and do great things for God right now. This is an opportunity. Franklin Graham's been doing. He's been building hospitals in Italy, in New York, and other places, and saving people's lives and preaching the gospel. And you can be doing something using your talents. Oh, I have so much to say, but I'm going to stop here. Have faith, not fear, people. Know what the devil's saying. You want discernment, you got to know what the devil's saying. If you want discernment, you got to know what God is saying. And you got to know both, and you've got to balance it and pray, and you've got to understand the times. Otherwise, you won't have discernment. I'm telling you. You've got to watch the news. I'm sorry to tell you. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. But if you don't watch the news, then you have no excuse for being dumb. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you don't like it, get over it. You need to know what's going on, people. Information is moving at the speed of light. And if you don't keep up with it, at least an hour or two a day, you're going to be left in the dust. You're going to be left in the dust. Okay, please rise. I want to bless you. Have faith, not fear. Have hope, not despair. Faith is the opposite of fear. Good things are coming. People are going to be getting out. People are going to be going back to work. Things are opening up slowly, but it's opening up. We're coming out of our hibernation. Glory to God. I'm just so excited for America. The economy is going to come back. I believe it's going to come roaring back, really, personally. I'm not telling you what to do, but I believe it's going to come roaring back. I can't wait till I can have services again, regular. And so I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom. God bless you. Thank you for helping us with our flood and helping our little synagogue here in Capernaum, Tennessee, in Virginia. Thank you for watching and being part of our For Zion's Sake family. We love you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for your love. God bless you. Shabbat Shalom.